Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from The Voice of America. I'm Brian Lynn.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written for people learning English. Coming up, Andrew Smith presents Ask a Teacher. We also have Words and Their Stories from Anna Mateo. And we close the show with an American story. But first, October 31st is Halloween. But many Americans have been preparing for the holiday for weeks. And businesses are hoping for good profits from Halloween purchases. The National Retail Federation, NRF, is the largest U.S. trade group representing sellers of material goods. It expects total Halloween spending in 2024 to reach about $11.6 billion. That sounds like a healthy amount, but it would be a drop from the year before. The NRF says total Halloween spending in 2023 was a record-setting $12.2 billion. So you might wonder, what are Americans buying for Halloween, and how do they celebrate the holiday? Halloween traditions in America are linked to Celtic beliefs in ancient Britain. The Celts believed that spirits of the dead would return to their homes on October 31st, the day of the autumn feast. Celts would build huge fires to frighten away any evil spirits that might return. People from Scotland and Ireland brought these ideas with them when they came to America. Some believed that spirits played tricks on people on the last night of October. In modern America, the holiday mostly belongs to children. After dark, children wear special clothing called costumes. They often appear as frightening creatures like vampires, ghosts, and witches. The children walk around their neighborhoods, knocking on doors of homes. When someone answers a door, the children yell, "Trick or treat!" If the people in the homes do not give them a sweet treat, the children might play a trick on them. Some of the purchases people make for Halloween include candy and costumes. This year, the NRF expects the superhero character, Spider-Man, to be the most popular children's costume. Children are not the only Americans in costumes on Halloween, however. Adults also dress up in costumes and attend Halloween parties, parades, and other events. These celebrations often include costume competitions, with prizes for the most frightening, inventive, or humorous costumes. Overall, the NRF reports total spending on costumes for Halloween 2024 is expected to reach a total of $3.8 billion. It says buyers will spend $3.5 billion on Halloween candy. Americans also enjoy decorating their homes for Halloween. People hang fake skeletons, witches, spiders, and other scary things around their doors and from trees and bushes. They also cut scary faces into pumpkins and light them to create a strange glow. Some people do a little decorating, others do a lot, and still others do none at all. But the NRF says researchers estimate Americans will spend about $3.8 billion to dress up their houses for Halloween this year.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Hello. This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question from Huang in Vietnam about how to think in English. Dear teacher, people say that to speak English fluently, you need to think in English. So, how can I think in English faster? When I talk with foreigners, with the first conversation, I talk very slowly and the remaining time I use for thinking. And with the second conversation, because I've been talking before, I feel natural and I speak more fluently. So, how can I be fluent like the second conversation when I'm having the first conversation? Thank you. Huang. I'm happy to answer this question, Huang. It can be difficult to fully explain how to think in a foreign language. That is because the explanation asks us to consider the relationship between thoughts and the language we use to express them. However, we can still notice what happens when we think in a foreign language. And we can compare it to times when we have to pause and translate from our native language. Consider what happens when you exchange simple greetings, questions, and answers in a foreign language. If someone asks you in English, "How are you today?" you can probably answer without pausing or translating from your native language. For example, you can quickly reply, "I'm fine, thank you," and "How are you?" This example shows us the basic things we need for thinking in a foreign language. In this situation, you know all the words you need to say. You don't need to stop and think about the grammar. And you have heard and said these phrases so many times that your response is automatic. The reason the second conversation you talk about feels more natural is because you have already heard and used some of the vocabulary and grammar you need. So, for any subject you want to discuss, you will be able to think in English after you have learned and practiced what you need to say many times. Here are some suggestions for learning to think in English. Choose a subject you are interested in discussing. Then, imagine you are speaking with another person. How easily and quickly can your mind find the vocabulary and grammar you need? Note when you need to pause to find vocabulary or think about grammar. Next, learn the vocabulary and grammar and then practice using them several times. Repeat the words until they become automatic. If you can plan ahead and practice in your mind what you will likely talk about, then your first conversation might feel easier and similar to a second conversation. You can find more advice for thinking in English in our Education Tips article, Train Your Brain to Think in English. Keep in mind that to think in English, you need to read, listen to, and speak as much English as possible. This will help your mind use English more easily. For our readers and listeners, what are your questions about American English? We'd like to hear from you. Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And please include where you are from in your email, too. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Andrew Smith.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Butterflies are delicate insects. Their wings are thin and can be easily damaged. So how can a butterfly cause major things to happen? That is the idea behind the expression butterfly effect. The theory goes like this. When a butterfly flaps its wings on one side of the planet, it can make a small change that, over time, could lead to a big event, like a storm, all the way on the other side of the planet. The butterfly effect is when very small changes lead to large and unpredictable changes in the future. For example, let's say a group of television writers demand higher pay. Their employers refuse, so the writers go on strike. Then television actors join the strike. Their action forces the television industry to stop production. Then other businesses that support that industry are affected, and so are the towns and communities where those businesses are centered. These changes all resulted from that first demand for higher pay. A similar expression involves the game of dominoes, the domino effect. Dominoes are small rectangular game pieces. One way to play with dominoes is to set them up in a line or pattern. Then you push the domino at the start of the line into the one next to it, and so on, until all the dominoes fall down. You started the domino effect with your single push of a single domino. The butterfly effect and domino effect are chain reactions. One thing leads to another. We often say that something sets off a chain reaction. Here is an example. The angry argument between the two friends set off a chain reaction of events that no one could have predicted. One thing led to another, and now they are enemies. You can also call this a chain of events. Like butterfly effect and domino effect, one event causes or triggers the next one to happen. Now, let's hear two friends use some of these expressions.
Hey,
I'm having the official opening for my bookstore this weekend. You should stop by.
I will, and congratulations. You've been working on that for a while.
Nearly a year. There are so many steps in starting a business.
How did you begin?
It was a domino effect. As soon as I finished the first thing, the next thing to do became clear, and the next, and the next.
Sounds like starting that chain of events was important.
Absolutely.
As a writer, did you always want to own a bookstore?
It's funny you ask. When I was little, my friend's parents owned a bookstore. I'd hang out there for hours.
It's like the butterfly effect. Something that happened a long time ago affected your future today.
That sounds like a good story to write.
And that's Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
Learning English Program, American Stories. Today's story is called The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. It is about something strange that happened long ago in a valley called Sleepy Hollow. It was written by Washington Irving. Here is Doug Johnson with the story.
The valley known as Sleepy Hollow hides from the world in the high hills of New York State. There are many stories told about the quiet valley, but the story that people believe most is about a man who rides a horse at night. The story says the man died many years ago during the American Revolutionary War. His head was shot off. Every night he rises from his burial place, jumps on his horse, and rides through the valley looking for his lost head. Near Sleepy Hollow is a village called Tarrytown. It was settled many years ago by people from Holland. The village had a small school, and one teacher named Ichabod Crane. Ichabod Crane was a good name for him because he looked like a tall bird, a crane. He was tall and thin like a crane. His shoulders were small, joining two long arms. His head was small, too, and flat on top. He had big ears, large, glassy green eyes, and a long nose. Ichabod did not make much money as a teacher, and although he was tall and thin, he ate like a fat man. To help him pay for his food, he earned extra money teaching young people to sing. Every Sunday after church, Ichabod taught singing. Among the ladies Ichabod taught was one Katrina Van Tassel. She was the only daughter of a rich Dutch farmer. She was a girl in bloom, much like a round, red, rosy apple. Ichabod had a soft and foolish heart for the ladies, and soon found himself interested in Miss Van Tassel. Ichabod's eyes opened wide when he saw the riches of Katrina's farm, miles of apple trees and wheat fields, and hundreds of fat farm animals. He saw himself as master of the Van Tassel farm, with Katrina as his wife. But there were many problems blocking the road to Katrina's heart. One was a strong young man named Brom Van Brunt. Brom was a hero to all the young ladies. His shoulders were big, his back was wide, and his hair was short and curly. He always won the horse races in Tarrytown and earned many prizes. Brahm was never seen without a horse. Sometimes, late at night, Brahm and his friends would rush through town shouting loudly from the backs of their horses. Tired old ladies would awaken from their sleep and say, "Why, there goes Brahm Van Brunt leading his wild group again." Such was the enemy Ichabod had to defeat for Katrina's heart. Stronger and wiser men would not have tried, but Ichabod had a plan. He could not fight his enemy in the open, so he did it silently and secretly. He made many visits to Katrina's farm and made her think he was helping her to sing better. Time passed, and the town people thought Ichabod was winning. Brahm's horse was never seen at Katrina's house on Sunday nights anymore. One day in autumn, Ichabod was asked to come to a big party at the Van Tassel home. He dressed in his best clothes. A farmer loaned him an old horse for the long trip to the party. The house was filled with farmers and their wives, red-faced daughters, and clean, washed sons. The tables were filled with different things to eat. Wine filled many glasses. Brahm Van Brunt rode to the party on his fastest horse, called Daredevil. All the young ladies smiled happily when they saw him. Soon, music filled the rooms, and everyone began to dance and sing. Ichabod was happy dancing with Katrina as Brahm looked at them with a jealous heart. The night passed. The music stopped, and the young people sat together to tell stories about the Revolutionary War. Soon, stories about Sleepy Hollow were told. The most feared story was about the rider looking for his lost head. One farmer told how he raced the headless man on a horse. The farmer ran his horse faster and faster. The horsemen followed over bush and stone until they came to the end of the valley. There, the headless horseman suddenly stopped. Gone were his clothes and his skin. All that was left was a man with white bones shining in the moonlight. The stories ended, and time came to leave the party. Ichabod seemed very happy until he said good night to Katrina. Was she ending their romance? He left feeling very sad. Had Katrina been seeing Ichabod just to make Brahm Van Brunt jealous so he would marry her? Well, Ichabod began his long ride home through the hills that surround Tarrytown. He had never felt so lonely in his life. He began to whistle as he came close to the tree where a man had been killed years ago by rebels. He thought he saw something white move in the tree. But no, it was only the moonlight shining and moving on the tree. Then he heard a noise. His body shook. He kicked his horse faster. The old horse tried to run, but almost fell in the river instead. Ichabod hit the horse again. The horse ran fast and then suddenly stopped, almost throwing Ichabod forward to the ground. There, in the dark woods, on the side of the river where the bushes grow low, stood an ugly thing, big and black. It did not move, but seemed ready to jump like a giant monster. Ichabod's hair stood straight up. It was too late to run, and in his fear, he did the only thing he could. His shaking voice broke the silent valley. "Who are you?" The thing did not answer. Ichabod asked again. Still no answer. Ichabod's old horse began to move forward. The black thing began to move along the side of Ichabod's horse in the dark. Ichabod made his horse run faster. The black thing moved with them. Side by side they moved, slowly at first, and not a word was said. Ichabod felt his heart sink. Up a hill they moved above the shadow of the trees. For a moment, the moon shone down, and to Ichabod's horror, he saw it was a horse. And it had a rider. But the rider's head was not on his body. It was in front of the rider, resting on the horse. Ichabod kicked and hit his old horse with all his power. Away they rushed through bushes and trees across the valley of Sleepy Hollow. Up ahead was the old church bridge where the headless horseman stops and returns to his burial place. "If only I can get there first, I am safe," thought Ichabod. He kicked his horse again. The horse jumped onto the bridge and raced over it like the sound of thunder. Ichabod looked back to see if the headless man had stopped. He saw the man pick up his head and throw it with a powerful force. The head hit Ichabod in the face and knocked him off his horse to the dirt below. They found Ichabod's horse the next day peacefully eating grass. They could not find Ichabod. They walked all across the valley. They saw the footmarks of Ichabod's horse as it had raced through the valley. They even found Ichabod's old hat in the dust near the bridge. But they did not find Ichabod. The only other thing they found was lying near Ichabod's hat. It was the broken pieces of a round orange pumpkin. The town people talked about Ichabod for many weeks. They remembered the frightening stories of the valley. And finally, they came to believe that the headless horseman had carried Ichabod away. Much later, an old farmer returned from a visit to New York City. He said he was sure he saw Ichabod there. He thought Ichabod silently left Sleepy Hollow because he had lost Katrina. As for Katrina, her mother and father gave her a big wedding when she married Brom Van Brunt. Many people who went to the wedding saw that Brom smiled whenever Ichabod's name was spoken, and they wondered why he laughed out loud when anyone talked about the broken orange pumpkin found lying near Ichabod's old dusty hat.
That's all the time we have for today's show, but join us again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program. Thanks for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Brian Lynn.